Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode we're going to be looking at impulsion within the dressage scales of training. Now, the phrase of needs more impulsion is one that frequently appears on dressage score sheets. However, when trying to create impulsion, many novice riders fall into the trap of simply making their horses go faster. So in this podcast episode, we're going to take a look at impulsion within the dressage scales of training. We're going to discuss how much impulsion you should have and give you some tips on how and when to inject impulsion into your own horse. So with that to get through, let's get going. So let's dive straight in at the beginning with a recap of the scales of training. So as you know by now, the scales are designed to provide a systematic and a logical framework for training the dressage horse. And there are 6 scales in total, and they're meant to be approached in a set order. So first we have rhythm, second we have suppleness, third we have contact, fourth we have impulsion, fifth we have straightness, and sixth we have collection. And they're usually depicted as a pyramid, with rhythm being the base. Now, although there is the odd occasion when one of these scales can be skipped over to work on improving another, they're essentially meant to be approached in that set order, and there are no shortcuts. Now, when we look at impulsion within the scales of training, impulsion is the 4th training scale, and it only becomes relevant and useful once the first 3 scales of rhythm, suppleness, and contact are fairly secure. So if you've not done already, go back and listen to our previous podcast episodes where we've focused on those 3 training scales. Because if you ask for too much impulsion before those scales 1, 2, and 3 are established, then that can cause problems, because the horse will not yet have the physical ability to manage a lot of impulsion without stiffening or coming against the hand. Now, in contrast, a byproduct of rhythm, suppleness, and contact, so a byproduct of those first 3 training scales, is elasticity. And if the horse has plenty of elasticity, then he will generate more energy, but with bigger, rounder, and higher strides, which will help create more impulsion and elevation. And also, during those first 3 scales, the horse is developing an understanding of your driving aids and your restraining aids and how to work between them. And this then leads to the development of the half halt, which is an essential tool when it comes to developing impulsion. So as you can see, those first 3 training scales of a rhythm, suppleness, and contact are an absolute must. So again, if you've not done already, please go back and watch our previous podcast episodes where we focus on those scales individually. Now, moving on with this podcast, we are of course going to cover how to create impulsion. But first, let's discuss what exactly is impulsion. So if we look at the FEI definition, and the FEI is the International Governing Body for Equestrian Sport, their definition states that impulsion is the transmission of controlled propulsive energy generated from the hindquarters into the athletic movement of the eager horse. Now, its ultimate expression can be shown only through the horse's soft and swinging back, and is guided by the gentle contact with the rider's hand. Now, within that definition, there are a few key points that we want to break down a little bit further and to emphasise. So the first point is where it states controlled propulsive energy. because it's important that the energy that we create is controllable, and therefore we must be able to contain it. If we cannot contain and control the energy that we create, then we will be unable to direct that energy into producing expression, engagement, cadence, and various school movements. In essence, the energy will no longer be a useful tool, and instead it will turn into speed and tension. So in order for this impulsion to be correct and effective, it must be controllable. Now, the next point in that definition that we want to emphasise is where it states that impulsion is shown only through the horse's soft and swinging back. Now, in order for the horse's back to swing, he must have an adequate degree of longitudinal suppleness, which is that suppleness over the back, and also an adequate degree of relaxation, which also falls under the premise of mental suppleness. Now, if the horse is tense and tight through the back, then correct impulsion cannot be achieved, and you'll see why that is later on in this podcast episode. But moving on to the third and final point, and this is where the definition first states energy generated from the hindquarters, then it goes on to state through the horse's soft and swinging back, and then it goes on to state contact with the rider's hand. So basically, the definition describes energy flowing first from the horse's hindquarters, then over the horse's soft and swinging back, and then into the contact, which references the energy circle that we talked about in the previous podcast episode, because it's within this energy circle where we create and contain the impulsion. So let's have a quick recap of this energy circle. So when you were working to achieve those first three training scales of rhythm, suppleness, and contact, you would have formed a connection with your horse known as the energy circle. And within that circle, energy flows first from the horse's active hind legs. It then flows over the horse's supple and swinging back. It arrives in the horse's mouth as he seeks the bit. It then travels along the reins to the rider's hands. It goes through the rider's supple body and seat to the rider's driving aids, which is the rider's legs. And it then goes back into the activity of the horse's hind legs. And that cycle continues around and around. So in other words, the horse works forwards in a good rhythm at a suitable tempo, which is that scale one. He works through a supple back, which is that scale two, and then goes into the contact, which is scale three. And then to achieve this scale, scale four of impulsion, we now need to turn up the dial on the amount of energy that we have flowing through that circle, whilst at the same time we need to maintain the same rhythm and tempo, maintain the horse's relaxation and suppleness, along with a soft and elastic contact. So we need to keep the same qualities that we achieved within those first three training scales, but what we need to do now is we need to turn up the dial ever so slightly on the amount of energy that we have flowing through the energy circle. Now, before we move on, it's important that we stress that impulsion does not equal speed. One of the biggest misconceptions is that impulsion refers to speed, and it's this which leads novice riders into kicking on and making their horses go faster. Sadly, all this does is push the horse out of a suitable rhythm and tempo, often causing the horse to lose his balance, fall on the forehand, get tense and tight through his back, and possibly come against the contact. Essentially, you will lose those first three training scales. Instead, think of impulsion as referring to energy, or as we like to call it, oomph. So you want to maintain those first three training scales, but just add a little bit more oomph to the movement. Okay, so now that we know what impulsion is, let's move on to talk about how we go about creating impulsion. So first up, as we've already stressed numerous times already throughout this podcast, before you can start injecting your horse with more impulsion, it's paramount that you have first achieved a fair degree of relaxation along with those first three training scales of rhythm, suppleness and contact. Now secondly, you must have an understanding of the half halt and your horse must have learned how to respond to the half halt correctly. In other words, he must take more weight on his hind legs when you apply the half halt aid. Now, this is an essential tool in the development of correct and controllable impulsion. Now, if you're not quite sure how to ride a half halt, then you can search our podcast archives or search our website howtodressage.com for the article titled How to Ride a Half Halt. But once you can tick those boxes, you can then move on to the following steps and exercises. So first up is step one. So what you're going to do is you're going to ride your horse onto a large 20 meter circle. And the circle will help to keep the horse balanced and encourage him to step further underneath himself with his inside hind leg. Next, you're going to use both of your legs equally at the girth and give your horse a forward-inward squeeze to create a surge of energy from the horse's hind legs. Now importantly, once your horse has responded to this aid, then let the legs hang passively and sit still. Do not constantly squeeze or kick your horse repeatedly, because that will quickly make him dead to the aid. Now if your horse does not respond to your leg aid, then first, make sure that your aiding was clear. But if you still get no response, then back up your leg aid with a tap from your schooling whip. And then move on to step two, which is as you use your leg aid, you need to apply a containing half halt so that the energy that you created with your legs doesn't escape out the front door and turn into speed. Because if you ask for more energy and activity without using the half halt to capture that energy, then the horse will simply go faster into a quicker tempo. And this will cause him to lose his balance and fall onto his forehand as he does so. And then step three, as soon as you've used your activating leg aid and a half halt, you need to relax your aids and seat to allow the energy to come through the horse's back from behind and for his hind legs to step further underneath, creating more pushing and more carrying power. Now remember that the horse's back must remain supple, so be careful that you don't inadvertently grip with your knees or legs, which could cause your horse's back to tighten. Remember that if your horse's back becomes stiff, then correct impulsion will not be possible. And then we move on to step four, which is where you're going to keep repeating those steps one, two, and three, and you're going to keep doing it to gradually increase the impulsion and create more oomph and power in your horse's strides. Now, as you are doing this, remember that impulsion is not a case of just kicking the horse forwards and keeping the handbrake on with an overly restrictive rein contact. It's about increasing the amount of energy that is flowing through that energy circle and containing it within the active hind legs of the horse with the use of a well-ridden half halt. So only ask for very small amounts of impulsion to begin with and be aware of tension. If at any point you feel the horse get tense, then just abandon the exercise and re-establish the horse's relaxation first before beginning again. You can't just turn up the impulsion to the maximum volume overnight. Instead, it must be a gradual process that is developed over time, so don't ask for too much too soon. But now, moving on, we're going to give you some extra impulsion exercises. because along with riding through the steps that we've just talked about, you can use a few exercises to help you out on your quest for a greater amount of controllable impulsion. So the first lot of exercises that we're going to talk about are transitions. Now, all transitions, when they're ridden correctly, will be beneficial in the development of impulsion. However, one of the best exercises for this purpose is transitions within the paces. For example, you could go from working trot to medium trot back to working trot. So here are the steps for that exercise. So you would first start by riding onto your 20 meter circle and establishing a good working trot. You would ride your horse forwards into a medium trot, focusing on the horse lengthening the trot strides and frame whilst keeping the tempo the same. Now, after a few strides, you would then use the half halt to shorten the trot gradually and then make 4 or 5 working or collected strides before then repeating the exercise several times on the circle before changing the rein. Now, throughout this exercise, the horse should become more elastic over his back, which will help to increase the moment of suspension and therefore produce more impulsion. And of course, this exercise can also be ridden in canter. Now, another lot of exercises that you can use are lateral movements. So if you have a horse with too much impulsion that gets tense and or possibly runs away with you, then riding lateral movements can be an excellent way of controlling the essential forward movement and impulsion without the horse losing his balance. Because it's much more difficult for the horse to speed up and run forwards when he is moving sideways. And this helps you to prevent the energy from escaping, and it helps you to contain it on the horse's hind legs. Now again, all lateral movements, when they are ridden correctly, will serve this purpose. And you can also combine them with transitions and circles for additional benefits. So an example that we have for you is shoulder in to a 10 meter circle to medium trot and back to shoulder in again. Here are the steps for that exercise. So you would begin in trot on the right rein, and as you approach the long side of the arena, you would ride shoulder in from K to E. And then at E, you would ride a 10 meter circle. And then from E to H, you would push the horse forwards, lengthening the stride and frame to ride a few medium trot strides. And then at H, you would transition back to working trot. And then on the next long side of the arena, you would ride shoulder in again, and you would repeat that exercise a few times before changing the rein. Now, after a few times of doing this, you will find that your horse will start stepping under himself automatically, and the result should be a more collected, elevated, expressive, and cadence pace with maximum energy and lift. So those are just a few exercises that you can try whilst you are going through them steps on how to create impulsion. But it's important that we now talk about, well, how much impulsion should you have? Because impulsion comes in various amounts. You can have too little impulsion, you can have too much impulsion, or just the right amount of impulsion. So we're now going to go through some indicators to help you decide how much more or less impulsion your horse needs. So first up, let's talk about too little impulsion. So if your horse is lacking in impulsion, then he will display the following indicators. So he will have a lack of athleticism in his movement. He will have flat and unelastic paces with little engagement. You will need to use obvious aids just to keep the horse going, and the horse will be very slow to respond to your aids. You will also find it difficult in producing any pace variations, for example, collections and extensions, and you will also struggle with lateral work and positioning. So that is if you have too little impulsion. But now let's talk about too much impulsion, because it is possible to have too much of it. Now, each horse has its own individual barometer for when it comes to impulsion, which is based on its current level of training and also its temperament. Now, if you ask the horse for more impulsion than what it can currently cope with, then he will display the following indicators. So your horse will show tension, tightness, he will hurry and possibly show an inconsistent tempo, he will have a short and tight neck, he may also display contact issues such as opening the mouth, tilting the head, head shaking or coming against the bit, and as the rider you will have difficulty with the controls and you will struggle to bend and position the horse correctly for school movements. So as you can see, there is no benefit to extra impulsion. This is a balancing act between too little and too much. But once you get the balance just right, then the correct amount of impulsion will be displayed by the following results. So first up, you will have an increased amount of controllable power. And this will allow you to produce a range of variations within the paces, so various collections and extensions. You will also have an increased amount of thrust. And this increased spring off the ground in trot and canter will give more expression to your horse's paces. Now also, there will be a more pronounced rhythm to the paces. And this, when combined with that increased thrust, will produce cadence. And finally, you will have a willingness and an eagerness from the horse to obey your aids. And this enables you to use lighter aids and to create a more harmonious partnership. So to wrap this episode up, impulsion is the ingredient that makes dressage exciting and easy to ride. You just have to be aware of focusing on it too early on in the horse's training. So the horse should always be forward thinking and reactive to your driving aids, but beware of pushing him for an inappropriate amount of impulsion before achieving those first three training scales of a rhythm, suppleness and contact. And always remember that impulsion does not equal speed. So when the dressage judge leaves a comment saying that more impulsion is required, think of it as they want to see more energy flowing through that energy circle, not a quicker tempo. Now, for impulsion to be a useful tool, we must be able to contain and control the energy that our seat and legs have created. Only then can it be redirected into producing more power, thrust and cadence. Now, if you get the earlier stages right, then impulsion will be very easy to add, and then your training will really start to take off. Now, if you have any questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our books, our training diaries and competitions, then please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.